presentation is Sustainable Lettuce, Adaptability to Uncertain Production Conditions. Thank you, Doctor.
Can everybody hear me okay back there? Maybe raise your hand if you can hear. Good. I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me a chance to talk today. They asked me to talk about lettuce production in relation to climate change. However, my background is primarily breeding and genetics. So what I'm going to do today is to give an overview of lettuce production primarily in the Southwest, that's because where most lettuce production occurs, some of the challenges it might face due to changing environments and climates, and some of the things that breeding and genetics can do in order to help that crop adapt. Now, of course, lettuce is a popular leafy vegetable. It's the most important ingredient of salad, although in some cultures the seed is used for oil or the stems can be even eaten. And, of course, it has plenty of genetic diversity. And in this case, we're seeing extensive genetic diversity for leaf traits, taste, flavor, texture, these sorts of things. And it's undoubted, almost certain that this variability plays a role in its popularity. And within the U.S., other than potatoes, lettuce is the most widely consumed fresh vegetable. And some authors have considered it to be a staple. It's so common in our diet that people are getting it essentially every day. And it has a farm gate value of over $2.3 billion. There are many different types of lettuce, just like apples and other crops. There's different market types. I've already mentioned the stem and the oil seed types, which are shown in the bottom of the slide. Those are very ancient. The more modern types are shown in the top. In the U.S., the most popular types are iceberg and romaine. The next most popular types are the leaf and then the butterheads and the Latin types. Knowing the different market types is important because they get different physiological defects as a result of their different plant architectures, okay? And some of these physiological defects could become important due to climate change. And the different market types continue to change. So this is data from 1998 until 2014. It's the acres of harvested in the U.S. For iceberg, leaf, and romaine. And we can see that the different types continue to change. Iceberg is continuing to decline. Romaine is increasing. And in some production areas, we know that romaine is actually more widely grown than iceberg. So where is lettuce grown? As I mentioned, it's primarily grown in the Southwest United States and in two states, California and Arizona. And the production rotates through three basic production regions within these states. Starting in the summer in the coastal areas, which is shown in red here, we have harvesting between April to about September. And then that will rotate to the San Joaquin Valley in the fall for harvesting for about a month, and then down to the low desert regions along the border with Mexico and the U.S. Harvesting there is from about December until February, in which case it goes back to harvesting in the spring in the San Joaquin Valley, and of course back up to coastal California for harvesting. And this cycle is able to produce lettuce year-round, and it probably produces more than 95% of the U.S. lettuce supply. So lettuce is grown in these regions year-round because it's a cool-season crop and it's sensitive to high temperatures, okay? So in this slide, it's showing the average high temperature from 1981 to 2010 for Salinas, California, which is a coastal production area, and for Yuma, Arizona, which is a low desert production area. And the gray bar is showing a suitable range, an optimum range for production of lettuce. It's about 18 to 25 degrees Celsius. The red bar is an upper critical threshold. Now, some authors have given 28 degrees Celsius as a point estimate for that threshold, but I've shown it as a range, and that's primarily because it depends on the cultivar you're growing, the life stage of the crop, and the production practices that are used. But as we look at this graph, we can see that average temperatures for Salinas, California are well within the suitable range for lettuce and well below the critical threshold. And the same is true for the winter time in Yuma, Arizona, when lettuce would be produced. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the weather is always suitable in Salinas, California for production of lettuce. This is just daily high temperatures for Salinas from last year. And we can see that there was at least three times of the year where temperatures were well above the critical threshold. And if we look at commodity magazines, reports from commodity magazines, there were losses in yield and quality associated with these. So this is similar data, but in this case we're looking at New Orleans and Minneapolis. And the point here is that most places in the U.S. have a time of the year where the temperatures are suitable for production of lettuce, and everyone here knows that. But in order to have a year-round supply, you would have to have many locations, right? I mean, you would have to have planting dates and harvests at many different latitudes going up and down the coast. And this was done at one point on the east coast of the U.S., but this system fell into decline primarily from extreme weather events, flooding, high temperatures, which cause delayed plantings or loss of harvest. And then there's a gap in the supply, and prices went up. And so over time, buyers tended to go to the Southwest, where production was more stable. So I'm not going to talk about this in any extensive detail, but I do want to point out that protected culture is something that's available. It's a popular area of research for many areas, and it can be used in some of these other locations in order to extend the production season, particularly at times of the year when the temperature is too low. So going back to the Southwest, there's two primary concerns with regards to lettuce production in the Southwest, and these are things which are summarized by the reports there in the title. The first one is increased temperature. The other is water availability. I'm not going to go into much detail on these. They've been summarized well by the previous authors, but it's widely agreed upon that the Southwest is going to be warmer. There could be more warming inland, and this is significant for lettuce because some of the production literally is right on the coast. You can see the beach from where some of these fields are. An increased frequency of heat waves, and with that, we could see more heat-related defects in lettuce. With water availability, again, this was discussed already, but precipitation changes are uncertain, particularly for California. However, looking at the lower portion of that slide, several of the irrigation districts rely on snowpack as a form of storage of that water. And so in those regions, they're expecting a decrease in snowpack, and so that could impact production in those regions. And that includes the San Joaquin Valley and, to a lesser extent, the low desert. So for the next few slides, I'm just going to go through what happens with lettuce when it's exposed to high temperature stress. The first one we're looking at what happens when lettuce is exposed to generally higher than and optimal temperatures. The first thing that happens is that lettuce matures faster, but then it, of course, over-matures faster. This phenomenon wreaks havoc on harvest crews because they're trying to have a nice staggered harvest of many crops in order to reach that year-round supply, but they can't manage that when the crop is maturing too fast. When lettuce overmatures, there's a number of physiological defects that can set in as well that lower the quality of the crop. For some cultivars, head weight can decrease, and this is at harvest, and this includes the cultivar Salinas. And so this is significant because Salinas is a predecessor for almost all of our modern iceberg cultivars. So they're derived from Salinas in some way, or they've been bred to resemble or have an adaptation which is similar to Salinas. They can develop a bitter flavor, glaucous color, rubbery texture as well, and they can also develop poorly formed heads. So when we look at the pictures here on the bottom, we can see the protruding ribs on the picture on the right versus the normal head on the left. In romaine, this is manifested as twisted heads or twisted ribs. There can also be puffy or loose-filled heads in iceberg, and this is a problem for production in the Southwest because this is a shipping industry, right? And so these puffy heads, these protruding ribs, they don't pack into boxes well and they get broken. And so then that product is not as high quality. Planting in the Southwest, production in the Southwest uses direct seeding almost exclusively. It's very rare that there's transplanting. And when akenes of lettuce are planted and are exposed to high temperatures, they can have thermoinhibition, which is a reduced, delayed, or uneven germination when exposed to these high temperatures. And typically, this is around 28 to 30 C that this happens. The max temperature for germination of a seed lot is under genetic and environmental control. And in this case, the environmental factor is what the mother plant is experiencing. The environmental component isn't well understood, but the genetic component, there is a quantitative trait loci. This is essentially a region in the genome of the lettuce which has genes that control this trait. There's a QTL named HGT6.1 that can increase that threshold by 2 to 3 degrees Celsius. So anyone that's grown lettuce outside of its optimum range, particularly in other parts of the country, will recognize a picture like this. This is premature bolting. This is a case where the lettuce stem begins to elongate before the rosette has produced enough leaves to be harvestable. In this case, we're looking at a picture of an experiment in Yuma, Arizona. So this is the low desert production area where the planting was in September and slated for a December harvest. And so this is a normal planting slot in the Yuma, Arizona region. However, what's happened in some cases, in some years in this planting slot, there's high temperatures that are exposed to the young plants, and we can get premature bolting, such as shown here. Now, as you can see, not all of the varieties are exhibiting this, and so there's genetic differences, right? So we can use those genetic differences to breed varieties which have this problem less often. As I mentioned, there can be internal defects of lettuce, especially that are associated with overmature lettuce. The two that are the most common are rib blight, which is shown on the left side for you guys. This problem is closely associated with high temperatures, and it's likely that temperature is the major driving factor for the development of rib blight. Tip burn is a more complex physiological defect. It's probably related to calcium deficiencies in the regions of the leaf that develop the symptoms. And temperature can induce this, but there's many other diverse environments which can lead to tip burn. As I mentioned, the incidence is higher in overmature lettuce. However, there are resistant iceberg cultivars that have been bred for both of these, okay? So that means that we can continue to breed varieties which are resistant to these defects. So one of the points I've wanted to make through the talk is that we have genetic variation for heat-related problems within cultivated lettuce, but there's also differences in these defects just due to plant architecture. So looking at this slide here and thinking about tip burn, we know that that tip burn is worse in the closed type romaine, Harding type romaines, versus the open type romaines. And in the case of rib blight, it's commonly associated with iceberg lettuce, and it's generally not a concern for Batavia, romaine, or leaf type lettuces, okay? So we may be able to mitigate some of these problems simply by choosing romaine varieties which have a slightly different architecture, or rib blight may become less of a concern as consumer preferences tend to continue to shift away from iceberg and towards romaine and leaf types. So to summarize what we've talked about with heat stress so far, the major point I wanted to make is there is genetic variation for heat-related defects. And there are warm weather adapted cultivars that are available already. There's not very many, but there's some that have been bred, and varieties which have been bred to have resistance to the specific defects that we've talked about. Now, one of the caveats with this resistance is expressed as a lower incidence or severity, so it's not immunity, okay? So under even more stressful conditions, even our resistant cultivars can begin to show defects. And it's not known right now how much more that resistance can be improved to tolerate even higher levels of stress or even higher temperature. And the reason for that is we don't have a global understanding or a comprehensive understanding of all of the genetic diversity for the genes that control these traits. So moving on then to talk about water. Water, of course, has been a long time ongoing concern in the Southwest. Nearly all of the water for crop growth for lettuce in the Southwest is provided by irrigation. And irrigation might do other things as well when we grow this crop, for example, cooling or for leaching salts from the soil. Now, because of the concerns around water, not just with the current drought or with climate change, but just even with population growth in this region, using water efficiently has been a major goal of this industry. And drip irrigation has been applied more widely in this region. Currently, about 60% of vegetables are grown using drip irrigation in California, and probably with lettuce grown for whole heads, even higher rates of drip irrigation are used. Thinking about the current drought, there is some data that shows that lettuce production has been impacted, at least in some regions in California, due to the lack of availability of water. On this slide, we're looking at production in four different regions: the San Joaquin Valley, the Low Desert, Santa Maria, Oxnard, and Salina, both of which are coastal areas, for 2012 to 2015. And the California Leafy Greens Research Program has provided this data on cartons produced within each year. And we can see the San Joaquin Valley has decreased 53% in its production. And there was a recent USDA Economic Research Service report which implicated which indicated that decrease in production is due to fewer plantings due to the lack of water to grow those crops. So because of the ongoing concern about water availability to grow lettuce, breeding for water use efficiency or drought stress has become an important objective for many breeding programs. There are several groups that are focusing on this now.
two groups have agreed to share some of their data with me so that I can share that with you. The first one here is the work by Beijuan Mao with the USDA in Salinas, California, and he's looked at genetic variation in different types of lettuce, cultivars of different types of lettuce, to look at drought stress in greenhouse and field experiments. In this case, we're looking at relative water content of crisp head types in a greenhouse, both drought stress and control. And looking at the drought stress, it does appear that there's differences among these different crisp head types of lettuce. And of course, genetic differences are what we need in order to breed varieties which are improved for these traits. Another group with UC Davis that is collaborative with the UC Cooperative Extension as well as the USDA has been looking at nitrogen use efficiency and water use efficiency. Some previous work showed that the varieties, the heirloom varieties, Grand Rapids and Iceberg, have differences for water use efficiency and nitrogen use efficiency. This was convenient because we already had some genetic populations that allowed us to do studies to try to identify QTLs, or again, regions of the genome that have genes controlling these traits. This was the work of the graduate student, and there were several regions in the genome that appear to have QTLs that control these traits. Now, we don't know much about these QTLs. They need to be characterized more extensively, but potentially they could be bred into more modern varieties in order to improve those characters. So moving on now to talk about biotic stresses. There are many diseases, pests, and weed problems of lettuce that have reduced yield and quality for a long, long time. And this slide just shows some of those that are current targets for breeding and genetics programs. These pests could expand their range, they could decrease, new pests could emerge within existing production areas. And I think that it's relatively hard to predict how any one single disease is going to respond. And the reason for this is that we don't have good understandings for most of these diseases of how the host-pathogen interaction changes with changing environments. The other issue with these is you know, these are diseases, especially crops, are not widely studied. But we know that all of these pathogens have organisms that attack them as well, right? And we don't, and even in the cases where we know of these beneficial organisms, we don't understand how they are going to change with the changing environment. There are a handful of diseases where their severity is, in lettuce, where their severity is closely linked to temperature. Two of these, Fusarium wilt and big vein disease, are soil-borne diseases which are ubiquitous in Southwest production areas. Fusarium wilt is a disease which is more severe as temperatures go up, and so many people are predicting that it will become a more significant disease. Big vein disease is a viral disease whose severity is more severe under cooler temperatures, and so it's expected that that disease will become less problematic as temperatures cool. Downy mildew is a disease that is driven primarily by leaf wetness and cooler temperatures, and so it could be less problematic under a warmer, drier climate. However, I included on this slide to make a last point about diseases. Downy mildew as a pathogen has extensive genetic variability, as do most of our pathogens, and we do not understand how our pathogens are going to evolve to changing climates themselves, and they may be able to adapt to these warmer temperatures. So all of these problems are overlaid on production systems in the Southwest that continue to evolve, and these include things like increased use of drip irrigation, the development and production of new lettuce or specialty types of lettuce, which may be more or less prone to physiological defects simply due to their different architecture. There's interest in transplanting right now, and there hasn't been a lot of transplanting in the Southwest, but people are looking at this due to new technologies. This could result in water savings, and it could make problems like thermoinhibition go away entirely. And then, of course, there's relocation of production. And many people assume this means, you know, lettuce production moving out of the Southwest. But as we've seen already, one example is simply a realignment of production within the Southwest, movement of production to existing areas to just new times of the year. And so all of these lead me to believe that we need to be prepared for unexpected issues. And I'm not going to read the quote there. You guys can read that on your own. But it comes from a California State Department report on challenges and solutions for California agriculture. And I think they were specifically talking about disease problems in this case, but I think it applies to a number of issues as well, production and heat-related defects. And because of that, we need to be prepared for unexpected issues. And the way we do that in breeding and genetics is by focusing on crop diversity, okay? And this is heirloom varieties, things that have not been grown a long time, as well as our wild species. In the case of lettuce, there are numerous gene banks around the world that have accessions of diverse lettuce. At least on paper, there's 11,000 accessions or more in multiple gene banks. Many of these are probably duplicates, and so the number of diverse accessions is probably less. What's most concerning for Lactuca is the number of wild species, at least in 2009, was less than 10%. And this is significant because most of our genetic diversity is in the form of wild species and not within the cultivated crop. It's not enough to essentially have the accessions. We also need to move these into populations so they can be used for rapid genetics research to determine whether a new trait is even feasible to work with in terms of breeding and genetics. So several populations already exist, and most of these are biparental populations that capture just diversity between two parents. When we have them and they're useful, we can use them for rapid genetic analysis. And a good example of that is the Grand Rapids by Iceberg population that was used to study nitrogen use efficiency and water use efficiency. However, as I said, they capture relatively limited diversity, and we need to develop more populations. One of the areas that we should focus on is something called multi-parent advanced generation intercross populations. These are similar to the kinds of things we've developed in the past, but they use more parents, and so then they have more diversity. And we should adopt procedures that accelerate breeding. Marker-assisted selection is a reality in lettuce, but it needs to be expanded to more traits. And then there's other procedures that have never been used in lettuce. These include things like genomic selection and genome editing. And so with that, I'd like to thank the time for the people who decided to stay for this talk, as well as the organizers in Beijuan and UC for sharing their water use efficiency data with me. This is a list of the citations that I use. You probably won't be able to copy those down if they're too small, but I did bring hard copies for people that want it.
We have time for questions.